way
Oh
that
my goodness.
I'm a shield. I'm a shield. But anyway, you should fucking
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
Hey, this is Chi.
And I'm feeling a little under the weather, so we decided to do a remote podcast. I do not have COVID. My baby, who had a cold, I was throwing her up, like up and down, like as one does. And I caught her one at times, and she was sick, but you know, she was still playful. And when I say sneezed in my mouth, I'm saying I caught 65% of the material that flew out of her nose and mouth, right in my mouth.
Wow.
Didn't taste like it.
I'm going to do a Phoenix Wright, like, objection, and then, like, the finger point and be like, prove it.
I'm
glad we're taking precautions.
Yeah. I just didn't want to get you guys sick.
No, prove that you don't have COVID. Yeah.
Well, at least your mic sounds better this time around. You're using the fancy new Audio-Technica AT2020.
I do, man. And I guess usually I talk about things, how my experience was with the hardware or whatever, but this one you guys can hear. If you think it sounds groovy, then go get yourself one. It doesn't have a standard mic screw in the back. It has its own, like, I think it's probably proprietary. So I couldn't put it on my mic stand, so it's on my desk. So I have to go like this. You can probably tell the difference. So that's
well, you got to get a shock mount for that thing. You can pick one up for like 15, 20 bucks, I think is what I paid for this one. But you attach the mic to the shock mount, and then that's got the adapter, like the standard 3/8 inch or whatever.
Yeah. So I'll get one of those for next time.
Well, welcome to the AT2020 team, because that's what we're all using.
Yep.
Bobby has a nice foam thing over his. I used to use a pop filter, a little foam head, and in the end, I just ended up just tossing it aside. All my spit is going into my microphone, so.
Hit those hard peas. Pop, pop. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been an interesting week, I guess. Cyberpunk has had quite the journey since it came out. Let's start out talking about that. I have continued to play it a little bit, not that much. Like I stopped doing the main quests and I started just doing the side missions, and I had a much better time with it. I didn't really run into too many bugs, you know, it wasn't too bad, but I don't know. I don't really feel strongly in one way or the other on this game. It's just all right to me. Like at times it feels like Grand Theft Auto. At times it feels like a Far Cry game. Like I've had some fun moments in it, but it's really like a hard game for me to pick up and play, because I have to have a lot of time to do it. And it's like, there's a lot of momentum I got to build up to get into it. It's just like, do I really want to do that? Or I'll just hop into something that's fun right away. So I don't know. I've been kind of hesitant to get back into it, but if you look at our Discord, we've got plenty of people who have like beaten the game already, just plowed right through it.
Yeah, our Cyberpunk channel has a lot of content on it. People are just posting different things. Manny Del Macho said that he had to back away from the main quest, I believe, because there was just one that was just impossible. He couldn't damage the enemies or something like that. So, I mean, that's a game-breaking bug. I deleted it. I'm just gonna wait till next year, till it's solid. But that's I did like terrible stock options. I bought high, and then I'm going to play it when it's low, when I could have bought it for fucking 25 bucks, but whatever. I know I'm going to get a fucking super cool experience once it's all. But right now I read that there's a lot of like finger pointing over at CD Projekt Red. Mm. And that's unfortunate. You know, the devs are pointing at the management, that unrealistic expectations about when deadlines and stuff. It's like, fuck, why do you need deadlines? Like, I get there must be a reason, but over and over we see fucking big corp come in, the corpos come in, and and then they start throwing deadlines around, and then shittier games start coming out. It's the tale as old as time in gaming, and here we go again. Don't get me started.
Well, as long as the bugs don't destroy the game for you, it's definitely a game, from what I'm understanding from others, that's worth toughing out. I am still very early stages. Since the alpha launch for Back 4 Blood, I have almost virtually abandoned Cyberpunk. I think I did go back into the game to see somebody's dick explode. And then that was good for me for for a little while. It's hard for things to get more excitable than that. But I see myself getting back into Cyberpunk, but not over eager to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's been a...
Go ahead, Bobby.
I was just going to start talking about all the news articles that came out, but if you got some commentary, go for it.
No, go ahead. Okay. I wanted to start hearing about Back to Blood.
Oh, we will definitely talk about that, because that was a lot of my week as well. So, it's been a journey with Cyberpunk, and it's kind of fun, though, because when's the last time we all had this one touch point where we could all just kind of experience it together, you know, like a game this big comes out. They are on their fifth patch, so they continue to patch it, fixing bugs here and there, and they pulled it out of the PlayStation Store. So it's not available for PlayStation 4s, but it still is available on PlayStation 5s, I believe, because it was not running well on there. I think a lot of the bugs were on that older console. That's kind of a big deal. I mean, that puts people in a weird spot, because you can return the game and get your money back, but then you can't, if you change your mind, buy the game back. But I imagine they'll put it back on there when it becomes more stable, if it does. I don't know. But, yeah.
Well, that's the unfortunate life of the console gamer, so.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing about all this is a lot of people have been saying it runs a lot smoother on Google Stadia. Like, that's the best place to play this game.
Yeah, awesome. I read the same thing. Because all the processing happened on their side, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is pretty demanding. As a PC gamer, we usually don't have sympathy for people who have technical problems due to insufficient hardware. So I don't know. I really haven't had too many problems on PC. But aside from all the technical issues, I just think it's like all right. You know, it's like not anything super great. Like, honestly, like I loaded up Killing Floor 2 and Deep Rock Galactic a lot more than I loaded up Cyberpunk this week.
How I feel about that. Oh, sorry. Yeah. How I feel about that too, with Bobby loading up social games. I feel like right now, especially with the holidays kind of coming, drawing in closer, I feel like I want to socialize more. So the single player world of Cyberpunk, where the immersion is kind of lost because of how buggy it is, I would rather play a game with others and get more enjoyment out of social interaction than a half-ass immersion into a game that is complete but just broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, immersion, that's a big part of the game, because they really do put you in that cyberpunk environment. But I was thinking about what we were talking about last week in regards to story, and especially how it relates to cyberpunk, and how I was having such a difficult time just following anything anybody was saying. Like, I felt like I had ADD. Like, I couldn't pay attention for two damn seconds anytime an NPC started to talk. And I think what really kills, like, immersion and storytelling in video games for me, and why I always say, like, oh, movies are so much better, I think it's really just like that moment to moment stuff in video games that just constantly break it. First of all, the character models, they don't look like real people, you know, so they're not really doing the job as well as an actor could.
Bobby, you don't look like a real person.
I'm not like Zuckerberg level here, you mean? That's pretty funny, though. And like, if you look on the Reddit, they're posting like all the character creation screens, and one of them was Zuckerberg saying they're going to start their corpo run.
Oh, yeah, man, that's hilarious.
And the top comment was somehow this the cyberpunk version looks more realistic than the real life version.
And it really, yeah, looked more like a human being than he does in real life. Yeah.
Well, when it comes to you not being able to really hear the dialogue in Cyberpunk, there's one moment in the game that super frustrated me because you always have people calling you in Cyberpunk, but then somebody could be talking to you in the real world and there's no distinction between holding the phone and the person. So there's two people talking to you at once and there's no way that you can disconnect between that unless I walk away to another, to a completely different area and missed out on both conversations. So for me, that happened once and I was like, well, time to reload because I won't be picking up that phone call exactly at that one moment in order for me to actually understand what's going on and what they're saying.
I don't know. Like, I'm not picking on Cyberpunk here. I think this is like just a bigger problem that I have in general with video games is just like I don't find them very believable. And like when they try to act out any sort of story, it's just like these awkward moving characters, the eye line is all off, like things that would never fly in a movie, like those are just very commonplace in video games. But I guess we just get used to it and kind of accept it.
Except you don't.
I mean, it's fine, but I just stopped really looking for stories in video games. That's why I kind of lean more towards, you know, I play a lot of like Killing Floor or Deep Rock Galactic or games where you just jump in and you shoot a bunch of stuff and you do fun things or, you know, you build a city or, you know, like a RTS game, like cutscenes. Like even when I went back and played Warcraft 3, like Reforged, I'm still kind of working my way through the campaign in hard mode. And I can't watch the cutscenes like I used to. Like I'm just totally out of it. But
speaking of which, did you pick up City Skylines for free?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was free on the Epic Game Store. They're doing that thing like they did last year where they give a game away every single day for free. And yeah, City Skylines was the first one. I picked that up, but I already had that game on Steam. I always wanted to get back into it because that's like the real, you know, they came out with that new SimCity game on EA Origin, and it wasn't very good. And then City Skylines came out and was like, oh, this is the real, this is the true SimCity game that we needed. And I really got into it for a little while, but just have not gone back. Yeah. You know what? Let me, I'm so used to Sniper pulling up all the links that I haven't been pulling up any links here.
I thought that's what he was doing.
I'm literally here being useless. Like, actually.
So why are we paying the fucking Sniper premium? What does he make? 75 cents an hour? That's ridiculous. Cut him off. We don't need
him. He's drawing in the audience with that, with his face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He does look like Hans.
You can't fire right people now, right before Christmas. Like Ebenezer Scrooge.
Dude, basically, it was just really bad timing. My boss pulled me aside and he's like, hey, man, there's going to be, you know, personnel changes are going to, which basically means the layoffs are coming. And he's like, I want to let you know that you have nothing to worry about. I'm going to take you to the next place with me. You're good. He's like, as far as everybody else, this is just really bad timing. And he's like, I'm going to be looking at things. And I'm like, by timing, he means like he doesn't want to lay off fucking eight people that have been with him for right before Christmas. So he kept them all. He kept them all for another week, which is like not Scrooge-ish, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's good. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm pulling up an article here from PC Gamer. And earlier in the week, before Epic started giving away all these free games, there was a list leaked out where they said, these are the games that are going to be on giveaway, and they're really good games. It kind of seemed too good to be true, and it turns out it was. There were games like Borderlands 3 on there. Assassin's Creed Odyssey was on there, like some really good ones. Turns out the true list has been leaked, though. We're about 3 days into it right now. But this is somebody posted it on Twitter, and it seems pretty reliable. The first few games match up. Not quite as impressive as the fake list, though. We've got City Skylines, Oddworld, The Long Dark, and Defense Grid 1 that they've already given away. Out of the rest of these, the only ones that I'm really looking forward to is Jurassic World Evolution and My Time in Portia. They're going to be giving away.
Oh, the thing about the list that I'm looking at, and I'm a big My Time in Portia fan, but the games that I think are good on this list, I've already purchased and or have played.
Yeah, these are old games.
So to me, To me, it's pretty irrelevant. Unless you are, I feel like the free games that Epic generally gives away, it doesn't entice me at all as a gamer, because just because the game is free, it doesn't actually motivate me to want to play it. It might be a good game to pick up and maybe keep in your library to try out down the road. But if this is a thing that incentivizes people to download Epic to get these free games, I guess it would work, because you are keeping these games in your library forever, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As long as you have an Epic account, do you have to launch Epic in order to get these free games or claim them?
Yeah, you have to have an account with them, and they load through. You've used Epic before, right?
I've used Epic to play Fortnite maybe once. And then besides that, I think it got stolen, my Epic account, and I didn't even bother trying to get it back.
Okay. Enjoy.
I don't know. For some reason, I feel like it wouldn't make me want to go and download Epic and try to catch these free games at all, especially since the ones I want to play already exist in my Steam library, which I don't remember buying these games at full pricing. I remember picking them up most likely at a discounted price, or I bought it when I wanted to play it, and I did play it at the time.
So basically, you don't want these games bad enough to support Epic.
How they're advertising it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How can we trust
only thing work? Epic is has only thing Epic has done for me is failed me, like with the in terms of their launcher, the some of the games that they've I'm just not an, I don't know, like I know I'm like diehard Steam user, but I'm still not tempted to jump over to the Epic side at all.
I mean, all these games,
how can we trust it?
The list, how can we trust it? We can't. Yeah. I mean, the first four games they've listed matches up. So if tomorrow we wake up and Alien Isolation is the next game, then we probably can put a little bit more faith in it. But even if it's like, if these aren't the games, I'm not going to be bummed out, man. Like it won't hurt at all, because none of these games here am I really stoked about. It's, I mean, look at what they got. They got Tropico 5, Darkest Dungeon, Torchlight 2. Like, these are old games that everybody has already bought and played. And I don't know. I can't imagine anybody. Not only that, but
solid games, though.
Yeah, I mean, good games. But this is just,
this is for people that, like, missed those games. Like,
yeah,
not everybody played every game. These are just like, oh, I didn't get that. Let me go sign on to my Epic account. So, yeah, just to grab that and then sign off and forget about it.
Well, plus, you can't beat free.
My time at Porsche. The game is My Time at Porsche. And this list says My Time in Porsche. You can't trust anything else on this list.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even notice that.
This list is bullshit. We can't trust
I actually went to the Kickstarter for My Time in Sandrock. I think it is My Time in Sandrock. And there was a Kickstarter for it. And I actually bought the $80 bundle that gives you two copies of the game. And I'm really excited. I enjoyed My Time at Porsche that much to invest $80 into a Kickstarter for the the successor to My Time at Porsche. So I'm excited for that.
No, that's just your Canadian filter, dude. Down here we say at, up there it's in. So that's what's going on.
Okay.
All right. Well, I mean, that's nice of him to be giving away free games, and I feel stupid complaining about it, because it's like, yeah, why wouldn't you give away like a game that is 5 years old and nobody's really going to pay full price for it? They might grab it on sale, and you know, games have a very short lifespan these days, so might as well give
them
away.
These games are like the T-shirt and the T-shirt gun. Are they just trying to get us to hype up over something that we necessarily won't wear or it would even fit us right? Like, that's what I feel like this is. This is like the T-shirt gun attempt from Epic. It's just doing
they're
what
trying
they
to get people
to
on their platform.
Relevant as a launcher. Yeah.
I play some of their free games. Like, they, even aside from this, they give away a free game every couple of weeks.
Month?
Yeah, maybe about a month. And I play actually quite a bit of them, because they're always games like this where they're really good games. They're pretty solid games, but they're just kind of old, and there's a lot of them that I just miss. So
I think you just have, I think you're a collector, Bobby. I mean, you do have over 8,000 titles in your Steam list, and now with Epic giving away free games, it's just another way to build your library.
Hey, it's just a click here, a click there. Stop? I'll take it. No, I only have 6,500 games in my Steam library, and it's mostly all junk. And I haven't really bought a lot of games recently. I'm playing Cyberpunk off Amelia's account.
Oh, man. Okay.
I'm kind of, yeah. I'm like that.
And that account is wide, wide open, dude. Like,
yeah, you aren't using it much. Little now.
No. What was I going to say? I will pick up Alien Isolation if I'm on my computer on that day. Yeah, I've always wanted to play it, and see, that's what it's there for.
There you go. Yep. Yeah, and of course the game itself of Alien Isolation is too long. I mean, that was a big criticism when the game came out, and I definitely backed that up. But there is another mode where you can actually play part of the movie, and it's much shorter, and you're actually playing through the part of the movie, which is really cool. And I thought that was actually really good. That cool. might be I'll worth check checking out more than the actual single player playthrough, because there's just a lot of backtracking. They're just like, dude, it's like every other video game you played, like, oh, we just need to go flip this breaker switch. And then you go over there. It's like, oh no, the rocket thruster control panel is down. We'll have to activate it manually. Oh, really? Manually? Wow. Okay. You know, every single video game ever. Okay. So let's talk about Back for Blood.
Woo! Super excited for this one. You want to start?
Well, Bobby, first of all, I want to say thank you, Chief, for giving me a code for this, because I did not get, I signed up for it last minute and I didn't expect to get into the open alpha.
What am I, chopped liver over here with the?
I knew you wouldn't have. Here's the thing. What happened was when I got the alpha code, it was because my brother had won the giveaway and he gave me one of his additional keys. I so happened to win the giveaway too. So I had hypothetically three extra keys to give away. Mm-hmm. I trusted Bobby that if I gave him a code, he would at least give me the extra two, because I had a line of friends that really wanted to get in. And even people who are my gamer friends and were like, oh, hey, can I have that key? I still didn't give it to them because I would kind of gauge whether or not they deserve the alpha key. So yeah. Amelia, you did not pass. I'm sorry.
I understand.
It was like one of those things where it was like, how much of Left 4 Dead did you play? Did we play Left 4 Dead together? Do you even care about this alpha? Will you play this alpha?
I remember playing Left 4 Dead 2 with Emilio back in the day, and him just saying, you know what? I don't like this game. And this was like 2009 when like everybody liked Left 4 Dead.
Oh,
like, really?
I made the right choice then, leaving Emilio.
That's not true.
You totally said that. Yeah, we were playing like a campaign. You're just like, yeah, it's not really into it. Because I think we're playing
right now and show you how many hours I have in it. But go ahead.
But I don't know, man. I distinctly remember saying, because we played a lot of TF2 back then, and then I suggested Left 4 Dead, and you're like, hey, not really into it.
Maybe I was over it at the time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I don't think we never played multiplayer together, and I played a lot of multiplayer, but I still enjoyed the single player campaign.
Mm-hmm. Well, Back 4 Blood has literally taken over my week. It has uprooted me as a person and a gamer. When the alpha launched, I actually didn't play it, even though I saw the announcement, and when it was live, I was on my computer ready to play, but I waited to play it until my brothers logged on, because that was my original Left 4 Dead crew. And this alpha is definitely the type of alpha you want to play with people you know. There are ways to matchmake and team up with randoms, but if you're not fully committed, it's going to be a very, very low chance that you're going to actually make it through the alpha campaign. It is very challenging, even on the most classic level. I woke up the day after alpha came out, and I had already logged in 12.5 hours from the first day. So I played this nonstop from 4 to 4, and it took me, virtually nonstop. And I would say it took me probably a good 8 or 10 hours just to beat it on Survivor with my brothers. So it's not an easy game, but it's been a lot of fun kind of discovering all the things that are similar between Left 4 Dead and Back 4 Blood, but Back 4 Blood is meant to be a spiritual successor. It's not meant to be obviously it can't be an actual sequel itself. And it's built on the Unreal Engine. So it plays so much differently than the original Back 4 Blood.
Yeah. I was looking at this game through that lens, and I think everybody was like, how does it compare to Left 4 Dead? And, you know, Valve still owns the Left 4 Dead title, so they couldn't call it that. But this still very much feels like those games, with some key differences. Like the snappy gameplay definitely feels the same with the hordes of zombies. The engine does give it a little bit different of a feel. It almost feels a little like...
Lower. It's much slower of a pace.
Yeah, it kind of feels like, I noticed some of the animations feel a little more like World War Z, which I think was kind of on that, or might have been on the Unreal Engine too. So much is these days. But the key differences, aside from just new characters and a lot of new guns, and the guns have attachments, there's a card system that you use. And this is super interesting. So the way World War Z went about this is they added progression to Left 4 Dead, basically. So you level up your character, you get stronger and stronger, you play harder and harder matches. So the more you play, the stronger you get, the more perks and upgrades that you have. And those persist through every single match that you play. So eventually you just have to start playing on harder difficulties. What it looks like on Back 4 Blood, and I don't know for sure because this is just the alpha, but what it looks like is it's more like a MOBA where you play each map and there is progression inside that map, inside that one match. And then when you lose or win, then it all resets. You don't carry anything with you to the other round. Or to the other rounds that you play, which I really like, actually. I like that everyone kind of starts on a little more even footing. And they do this in like two ways, one with the guns and one with the cards. So your characters have some benefits. Like one of them is better with rifles. One of them is faster. One of them is better with melee weapons. But the cards, I kind of hate when they put in the cards to a game. I find them a little convoluted, but it was fairly simple in this game. Basically, you pick out 15 cards, and we'll just call them perks because that's all they are. They're just like bonuses that you can get.
Yeah, they feel like buffs.
Yeah, they're just buffs. Like one will be plus 10% stamina. Some of them buff the entire team. Like whole team gets 10% more health. So you pick out 15 cards, and then when you start, you randomly get dealt three cards that you can pick from. And then every single level, you get to pick another card. So you have this deck and you don't know what you're going to get. There's a little bit of a random factor to it, but you could have a really good run where you like you get all the good cards that you want. You build these synergies and like you're doing all this damage. You got a lot of health or whatever. It's really interesting, and I like how they're doing that. Now, I wonder if what they're going to do later is have achievements that you need to get to unlock really good cards so you can build a really good deck. And in that way, like, you are rewarded for spending a lot of time in this game. I figure there's got to be something like that.
I know they announced, I believe they announced the price for the game, and they announced an ultimate bundle of some sort. I didn't look into the details. I just know that this is already bought. But with the additional bundle, you get additional characters. As for the decks, I hope there isn't a pay to win feeling around it. That would sorely disappoint me. Whereas Back 4 Blood is doing a really good job at impressing me so far. I love that the deck system, yes, the characters do have stats and starter weapons that really cater or give you a little bit of a boost and make you different enough that you have a preference when you choose your character. But when it comes to the deck building, no, not yet. But they did announce a couple new characters. They hinted at one called Mom. She kind of looks Asian, but I don't know. She could just be white for all I know. Besides that, with the deck building system, I've noticed that it's very important to, especially on the harder difficulties, that you build a deck that isn't necessarily just for your character alone. It's important to build money because in the harder difficulties, the health that you lose, you don't regain back. You have to purchase health. purchase kits, and then your max health actually gets cut down to where you'll be at full health, but what was 150 HP is only now 50 HP because that's how much damage you took throughout the whole entire campaign. I did beat it on Survivor, and it took me 8 to 10 hours doing that, my first time playing the game. And then now I'm actually working with I luckily enough, because I know people from the Left 4 Dead 2 community, and I've seen people beat it on Nightmare. So I'm playing with these old school Left 4 Dead 2 pros, or still existing Left 4 Dead 2 pros, and kind of like working out all the little kinks about how to actually beat this game and the best methods to. And I feel like the decks are vital in terms of currency. And then also for me, I'm always low in ammo. So anything that builds upon resources. So resources become a lot more important the harder the difficulty is. And it is very scarce. And it's actually very punishing of a game. Like one little mistake will ruin the entire campaign for you. Because you run out of continues, and in the harder difficulties you don't even have a second win option, so you don't get incapped, you straight up die. And that's what I like about it. I feel like a lot of people are complaining that it's too difficult, but I think it's a sweet spot, and it does have a lot of good RNG and replayability elements, because not only do the deck that you have affects your characters, but then when you join a server, the mobs or the horde or the undead, I guess they're called ridden. Mm-hmm. The ridden change up every single time. So for instance, bruisers, they're kind of like the chargers, the tall boys. They are probably my least favorite infected, next to the snitches, which are kind of like the screamers. And you can get they can draw a card that gets you a horde of them or a swarm of them. So in that particular game, that playthrough, you're going to get more bruisers, more screamers, more snitches, so you can kind of predict what you're going to encounter. And even the ogre, that big tanky item, is a card in itself. So if you don't draw an ogre, you're not going to see him in your game. So that's what's really cool. It's because based on what the enemy draws, it also changes like your strategy in order to beat it too. So
have you killed the ogre, Chi? Have you killed the big ogre?
So yeah, the ogre itself, you can't kill it, but you can damage it enough to make it run away. And the thing is, it's not necessarily worth killing every single time because of how limited your ammo is. But there's this point where the ogre spawns almost right outside the safe house, so you could burn through your ammo and just repurchase more ammo as well. So it's so much fun. I love Back 4 Blood. I really do. It's definitely an alpha title, but for an alpha title, I think it runs well. The glitches, the bugs are very obvious, but you still get that Left 4 Dead experience when you're rolling with a good four-man team. Right now, it's actually really hard to find four people to play with. I don't think they gave enough alpha codes. I am using their Discord server a lot to find people to play with, or I just have to wait until the people I want to play with are willing to play too. But I see myself playing this game up until tomorrow is the final day, and I'm still not sick of it. I should look up how many hours I put in like just now, since Amelia looked up his hours.
I've got a couple questions. Well, question comment. The card thing seems awesome. One, you can strategize for the run you're going to have, because you can see you can see what the bad guys are going to be comprised of. Is that what you're saying?
You can see them, but you don't have to change up your strategy per se, but then it'll at least help you consider what to look out for, especially the snitches. With the snitches, you shoot one of them and she spawns a relentless horde. And then when you burn through that horde, not only do you risk taking extra damage that you can't really earn back, because health is scarce. And then when you do find health, you have to pay for health. If you don't have money, you can't heal.
Yeah, there's a currency system in this game.
Yeah, this is only in the harder levels.
Well, there's a currency system no matter what level you're playing on. And we should have mentioned that too. So as you're going through these levels, you're finding money in them, and then you can spend that money on attachments for your weapon, on grenades, on pills, health. Just any sort of items when you're between levels. So it's almost in a way, it's like
the safe house vendor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like Counter-Strike a little bit in a way where between rounds, like you're saving up or you're buying things.
So, well, gee, the other thing that I really liked that you said was that you lean towards cards that kind of fill in your weakness, which is like you always go through too much ammo. So I feel like everybody could probably do that, you know, like whatever your weakness is, you can try to build your deck towards that. And that's really cool. Like yeah, me, actually, I'm terrible at killing zombies. I don't know what kind of trump card they're going to give me. But
the nice thing about that is, for instance, a lot of people have melee deck builds. And the melee deck builds, I don't like melee in this game. I'll be honest. I really think they have a lot to work out in terms of how...
I didn't think it was that great in Left 4 Dead 2 either.
Like, no, it was broken in Left 4 Dead. Like, you can melee your way through the game. You're invincible if you melee things appropriately. Yeah.
Broken here, too, because there's that one card that gives you lifesteal. And then there's a bunch of cards that give you plus health.
Yeah, if you get like the lifesteal plus the cleave and you hit like three zombies in a row, it's just like bing, bing, bing.
The problem is like, with the common infected, I've noticed that their animations don't match their damage. They're stealthy. For instance, you can't hear when you're standing in acid. And that's very frustrating to me because previously before, if you're standing in spitter bile, you can hear your health like getting chipped away from the acid. With retros, you don't get that. And with the common infected, they'll be running up to you. And I feel like they have the exact same length as you in terms of range for damage. Because before they even lift up their arms to slash at me, I just took a hit from them. And the health that you get back from that melee card, it's only 2 health per kill. And in the harder difficulties, you can lose 14 HP just by one common infected in one hit. So it's not very, I don't think it's a very good spec approach yet. But it's good because when I run out of ammo, the first person I ask for extra ammo is the melee main. So the person that is running around with melee.
Well, you guys can share resources as well.
Yeah, you can
throw money at each other.
Not money, but
you can
ammo.
Even drop gold. Oh, you can drop money. Yeah.
I didn't figure out how to do that. Yeah, I don't know. I had a tough time making melee work too, but then I realized, oh, there's a character that has buffs for melees. And then when Sniper played the melee character, he did very well on it.
Nice.
And I think he got some really good cards. So if you get, it's only 2 per hit, but if you get the cleave ability, you can hit 6 zombies in one swing. And so that's 12 health right there. And you can increase your attack speed. You can get like ridiculous amounts of increased damage. The melee is very tough, though, for the special infected. Like, it's very hard to just walk up and whack them. So that's kind of where you run into a weakness.
I call fake news. I've never seen Sniper do well at a video game ever.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
I didn't get to play Left 4 Dead with Sniper, so.
It's a once in a, like a, it's like 2020, like the one moment in 2020. So let me have it.
Oh, sorry. Oh, Warco had a good question. Did you play the new Left 4 Dead level? And then
I did. Since with the update, I went in there. I played with my brothers. We played on expert, and we played on expert realism because that's the only way I like to play Left 4 Dead. And it took us a couple tries, but we did get it in one night. One thing I love about playing with my brothers is that we are like real gamers. Like we rise up as gamers in a sense, because the fact that we went on a 10-hour spree of gaming until we beat Survivor, I didn't go to bed until 2:30. They didn't go to bed until 4 a.m. So it's it's one of those things like when we really love a game and when we're committed, my sleep schedule is screwed up since that one day. And I'm totally off my like pattern, but resorting back to the Left 4 Dead 2 map, we played that and it was so hard, but at the end we beat it. And as I was running to the boat at the end, my big brother threw a molly and and hit me. So I was literally the only one left 4 dead. So that was basically more or less my experience with it. It was good though. It was a great map update. I never really got back into Versus. I might play Left 4 Dead 2 a little bit, maybe, if to fill in that Left 4 Dead fix, since Back 4 Blood is like that close alpha is going to be being pulled down. But luckily, I think they're going to reopen it on certain weekends, so we will be able to play it up till launch, hopefully.
Yeah, 6 months. I mean, That's kind of a long time, but not really. And the game, I didn't have any technical issues. Frame rate got a little choppy when there was a bunch of infected around, but for the most part, the game ran super smooth and just totally technically sound.
For an alpha, it was good, but I don't think it was perfect. I definitely came across a lot of different bugs and glitches.
Yeah, well, I'm comparing it to other alphas. Usually, I pick up an alpha, I play it for like an hour, and then I am completely over it, and I never want to touch the game again. I've been through so many terrible alphas that this is just like far and away the most complete and like well put together one I've played. I mean, they could release this and it'd be better than a lot of games out there. No,
Cyberpunk
at least. It had the Cyberpunk bug where you can't pick up things off the ground sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was really
annoying. The running joke. There's been like some GDC talk about how to make items that can't be picked up by the player to annoy them or something, because that's happening in like a lot of games for some reason.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend. I don't know. Maybe it's because I played Cyberpunk and then Back for Blood back to back, but I feel like every time, like recently I've been having a trouble in games just picking up looting items, and I feel like, didn't we nail that like 20 years ago? You look at an item, you press a button, you pick it up. So I don't know. I don't know if there's like some new like trend or something happening where they're trying to like revolutionize the way people loot items. Like somebody gave a keynote at GDC or something, and now this is the way they do it. But yeah, it's a pain in the ass sometimes, especially when you're running around trying not to die.
So we're excited. We're even more excited than before we played it, it sounds like, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to be great. Excited. Now, here's my question, though. How do you guys feel about the $60 price point?
I'm fine with it. I've already I looked at my playtime. I've put 23 hours into this already. And it's about, and that I'm going to get my money's worth no matter what. Left 4 Dead 2, mm-hmm. I put in 600 hours. Left 4 Dead 1, that was so long ago. It was before Steam even started tracking hours. But I have close to 400 on that. So that's 1,000 hours of like classic Left 4 Dead gameplay. I could see myself reinvesting into Back 4 Blood. So as long as I think I really wanted to see if they have Versus. I don't know if that's confirmed yet.
Yeah, they have. It's down here on the Steam page.
Oh, they do? Okay, great. So I think as long as they're committed as a development team to listening to the community and also helping grow the game from within, because the Left 4 Dead 2 community did that, at least for, I mean, obviously with the recent update. So there's opportunities to take a good foundation, and that's what we are seeing so far, and making it even greater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, $60 seems a bit high. When I was first playing it, I was like, you know, I could see this being a $40 game. But if they add more content, more maps, more characters, more weapons, more cards, yeah, this is totally a $60 game. Like, they just need more stuff. And the alpha, of course, only has one level that you play through.
Mm-hmm. What I think was some people's concern is it's $60, but there's also, like, a Battle Pass season system, which isn't included in the $60. You can buy the $100 pack that covers you for the future seasons and stuff. So it's actually a $100 game to get all the content, $60 to get base game, but there will be extra maps and stuff only for season pass players, or if you buy the season pass. So
yeah, well, that's pretty upsetting.
You can probably earn that stuff too.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
possibly. Yeah, I don't know. That does seem a little weird. Like, especially if they're doing a seasonal thing. Like, I'm assuming this is going to be like Apex Legends, where you buy into the season. Or is it going to be just like DLC? I don't know.
Maybe they're getting greedy because Valve's not taking all their money anymore. No.
But I'm sure it's going to be a hit. Like, people are definitely going to pick this game up, and a lot of people are going to be playing it. It's good. Mm. Like, my biggest problem with it, honestly, I don't really like the name, and I don't like the fact that they call the characters you play cleaners, and they call the zombies ridden. It's just like, why are we coming up with new terms? Like, we know they're zombies. Do we need to call them ridden? And they call them cleaners because I guess the story in this is that you're part of a group of people that just go out and, like, murder a bunch of zombies. You're cleaning the world. So I guess there's like some sort of story, but it's not nearly as good as Left 4 Dead, where it's just your standard zombie story.
I will say the characters and their existing dialogue aren't very appealing to me at all. Not a single person from the Back for Blood Alpha is as interesting as any of the Left 4 Dead characters originally. So I found that to be pretty disappointing, that I can't really connect with the characters. But at least we'll have more characters down the road. So one character could change my mind on that. And it is weird. All of the special infected have, or all of the ridden, or what do they even call the special infected? The special infected have two names. I noticed that because if you play the game with subtitles, a stinger, which I never call it a stinger, is a hawker according to the subtitles. So I always call it a hawker. And then the bruiser is a tall boy. The wretch, I think people still call it boomer because obvious reasons. And then, but yeah, it's weird that there's more than one name and nothing's really sticking when it comes to any of the names.
The best
That's kind of cool. I mean, I like that part of it being an alpha. Like, you know, they're seeing what sticks, trying out different things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The best part about the game is that, according to the trailer, this disease originates in Quebec City. It is the fault of the French, which I agree. Everything should be the fault of Quebecers.
Oh my goodness. I was wondering where the setting was. Apparently George Washington Bridge is somewhere in the northeast of the US, but Evansburg, I assumed it was, I assumed Evansburg was probably somewhere in Germany, but I was like, wait, this makes no sense. Cause there are highway signs, US highway signs and whatnot. I just don't know where.
Mm-hmm. Might be a global thing. Might be a US thing.
Well, maybe they'll have more maps around the world. That would be nice. Because each Left 4 Dead game kind of had a specific setting.
Very specific. And Asians don't live in any of those areas, apparently. Left 4 Dead, previous Left 4 Dead games.
Gee, don't worry. You guys are taking over the world slowly. It just hasn't hit video games yet. I have a super long list. I'm just going to burn through a bunch of these things. Are you guys ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Ring of Pain is a card game. It's a dungeon crawler where the dungeon is represented by cards. The closest thing I can think of is Reigns. If you've ever played Reigns, it's like you get a card and you can go right or left. This is kind of like that, but my dog's going crazy. Sorry. Juggle. Yeah.
He just wants you to feed him, Emilio. I know. Apparently he hasn't had enough to eat.
But
I have a quick question colorful. Regarding that.
Oh, go ahead.
In your background, I noticed there's a fridge. Is that specifically Jocko's fridge? Like the only food that goes in here is his food?
Yeah. Yeah, we're fancy like that. No, that's where he keeps his bones, beer, and I don't know. Roberta cooks a lot. So when she overflows, we kick it over here.
Gotcha.
But first of all, the art style, I got to talk about it. It's very surreal, crazy out there, like psychedelic trip stuff, which is really, and it's a nice, cool aesthetic. For a game that only has cards in it, don't think that it's going to be like kind of boring like Reigns is. But Reigns runs on it was made for, you know, a phone. It looks really fucking cool. I like it a lot. Other than that, there's like little mechanics like stealth will let you sneak past the card. So if you can't go right or left, if your stealth is high enough, you might be able to sneak past the card and not have to deal with it, which I thought was a really cool little mechanic that it was in there. I played the demo. Anybody can go just try this. The demo is free to try. I'm going to give it some more time, but I really liked it. There's some exploding like slime monsters. I don't know what I'm supposed to run away from them, but I haven't figured that out yet, so I died to them a few times. But I like everything about this game so far. It's overwhelmingly positive on Steam, and I'm going to definitely give it a little more time.
It's colorful. It looks fun. It doesn't seem like a card game that is going to take a huge investment for you to enjoy it, such as, you know, some of the bigger card games. But it's a single player card game, correct?
Well, here's the thing that's weird. It's only the dungeon that's cards. You are just a person. You can decide to hit, go right or left, or use a special ability. That's
so
it.
You don't actually have cards yourself.
No, you don't.
So it's a dungeon game, but everything is cards. Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. That makes sense. I thought you were playing cards against other cards and kind of maneuvering through them, I suppose.
No, it's unique in that way. There's been other cards. Hand of Fate is like that as well. But I like this. I also played a ton of Cyberpunk. That's not true. And it's not Cyberpunk 2077. It's Cyberpunk 30. I can't even say the number because I'm so used to saying 2077. It's Cyberpunk 3776.
Doesn't quite have the same ring.
When I was deleting Cyberpunk, right next to it was this game. And I was like, oh, I know what this is. This is one of those games that comes out with a game with a similar title, hoping that even 0.1%, 0.1% of people buy it, the wrong game, right?
Yeah, of course. Like so the moms, the poor kids who ask for Cyberpunk 2077, and then their moms bring home Cyberpunk 3776. Yeah, I could see that happening.
It's something that's been done for years. It's like something like the Lord of the Rings will come out, and then somebody will make a fucking movie called like the Lord of the Two Rings, and it's just like shot in somebody's backyard, and it's like direct to DVD, and it's available at CVS at the checkout line, and
or like your mom brings home World of Warcraft instead of World of Warcraft.
Ooh. It was in the family section. So I clicked on it, but it was made in 2015. So I was like, oh, that's not what's going on here. This is actually a really game that was called something super similar to the other one. Anyway, it's a side-scroller shooter. Don't play it. It's terrible. It had some cool little things going on for it, but Don't even look at it. It's not worth it. It's $5. Pass.
Yet somehow you were sucked in, Emilio.
I wasn't sucked in. I was just like, let me go see what this is. Let me go see what was so close to being the most hyped game of all time.
Well, this game came out in 2015.
It did. Yeah. Dude, there's an effect where like there's a filter on the screen, and every time the lightning goes, like it comes to the foreground, almost like I don't know what to call it, but it's a cool little effect. But it's the same effect that happens. It's the same screen that comes up on top of your screen every time the lightning strikes. So the first three times you're like, oh, that's kind of a cool effect. And then it never changes for the rest of the game. It's just the same fucking filter over and over. And you're just like, all right, I've had enough. I've had enough Cyberpunk twice for this week. So I got to BPM. I played actually hours this time. So I went from minutes to tens of minutes, and now I've played hours. And this game doesn't – I couldn't put it down, guys. I had to be like, okay, responsibility calls. I need to turn you off, not because I'm not having fun, but because I got shit to do. And I finally really got into it. Bobby, so are you able to play the clip that I have there and with sound?
Yeah, I'll turn on. Okay. So you had it started right at a certain time?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, let me restart it then with sound.
So this is, he's killing the last boss. The whole thing is musical, guys. So your shots are on beat. The enemy's shots are on beat. So you know when to dodge, not just visually, but audibly. That's going on. It almost honestly feels like I'm dancing with my opponents. That's what this game makes you feel like. But go ahead and play the audio on this, because I really like the coup de grace when you take out the bosses.
Okay, I'll start it over again. I did play the audio on it. It looked like the boss wasn't fighting back, though.
No, because he had already died. He just kind of like,
oh, I see.
It's like the coup de grace, right? It's the head chop off or whatever you want to call it.
Okay, yeah, the execution. But I don't see, I don't see the markers that come up and tell you when to fire.
Because he's already dead.
Okay.
And there's no beat to this. I don't know if you can hear it. I can't hear it, but...
Yeah, we're hearing it.
So it's like sick guitar riffs with every bullet killing blow. And it's just like, way over the top, just like... And then fireworks, and the whole thing's cool. Over the top, and I love this game. It's really fun. It's really fun.
I believe you.
Third boss today.
There are some really good rhythm games out there, whether it's strictly revolving around music or games such as this. And there was a game like this, but it was more of a top-down, and it was based on rhythm killing, and you were this little character in a dungeon. And you would move tile by tile according to the music. And
Crypt of the Necro Dancer.
Yeah, that one. I never played it, but I always wanted to because I knew it was going to be a lot of fun. And I do like rhythm games generally. I like how they pull that off.
What's cool about this, I've been talking about it for 3 weeks, but it's a straight up like Doom clone, right? You're running around. You're not on rails. You can do whatever you want. You can jump, dash, whenever you want. But you can only do real actions on beat. So you can only dash, shoot, reload on beat.
And that's cool.
Next week I'll have you guys. I'll have something better to play, so you guys can see the melodic part of this game.
Awesome.
I guess I'll just keep going. Creeper World 4 is what. So we had our Secret Santa. And hardly anybody signed up. I'm gonna point the finger squarely at you listeners. Actually, we didn't push it as hard as we should have.
I think you asked me and I said yes, but then I didn't actually participate. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, point at you. yeah, not very many people signed up at all. But either way, a bunch of people got presents.
We had
and you
a
guys
good
did
amount
it,
of
so
people
it,
sign up. Like,
are you crazy? 10 people, Bobby? That is
10
not
people
a good
is pretty
that's a good.
Good
Secret Santa.
that's actually pretty good.
I put my address for the Secret Santa in as the Vatican. I put my real address, but then I put country, the Holy See, and Burn Division sent me his present, and he's like, "Yeah, it should have showed up." And I was like, "I don't know, man. Nothing's here." He's like, "Okay." Wait for it. Maybe wait like a couple hours. Nothing comes up. And we were like, I think you might have sent it to the Vatican. Did you write the Holy See on the package? Did you write that? And he was like, yeah, I wrote down exactly what your address is. Anyways, my neighbor had it. And my neighbor had it, so...
oh, okay. So he did
off,
sign it.
Yeah. It didn't go to the Vatican.
Oh, that's funny.
But the worst part was...
Are you going to show us?
It's well, it's right here in the box. But the... The problem with this present is it's a gag present. It's a huge purple vibrator that was above the price point for the gift exchange, and Burn Division got it for me.
Oh my goodness.
And imagine if it went to the Pope, dude. The Pope just gets a big giant vibrator for Christmas.
Could have changed everything, dude.
I was wondering why you went to the box. Now I'm sad I didn't participate in the Secret Santa.
Headline.
Darn.
Pope has his first orgasm, dude. Yeah,
never had one before. Never before a vibrator. Yeah. Wow. So Rian's going to be happy. And I participated in the gift exchange. And it's a great time. You guys should have done it. None of you did it. No, Amelia was there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bobby didn't do it. Nope. Holy shit.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, kind of gross, Christian. I don't know why you have to let us know that you gagged on it. But
it's his new toothbrush.
Yes, think
for all of his crevices. Huh?
Yeah. So, John.
Oh, his cavities. Sorry, Diddy. That's what I meant.
JP Diddy got me Creeper World 4, which I loaded this up, played it about 5 minutes, and I was like, "Why did John send me like somebody's school project game, you know?" Like it looks pretty bad. It looks like something you could, I don't know, it's not very impressive at all. And then I went to the store page, and it's like overwhelmingly positive with how many reviews. I don't know why my link's not working.
I'm looking at it. You didn't put an S. You need an S at the beginning of that. It's tor.steampowered. Yeah, I copy pasted the
anyway link. It's doing really well. It's like in the 93 percentile or something like that. And it's worth another look. I'm going to take another look at it. It gave me a bad taste in my mouth when I didn't know what it was. I thought it was maybe a gift. But I don't know. It's an RTS where you play against a creeping mold that's growing over the land space. And you shoot it back with tanks and missiles and stuff like that.
Mm.
So I do like the idea of single player RTSs, because I'm so bad at RTSs that I like to put them on easy, go real slow. And so that part of it appeals to me. I just have to give it a better chance than when I thought it was a gag gift.
This is tagged as physics. Is there anything to do with, like, you know, Kerbal Space Program? It looks like you have to launch projectiles. Is like, what's the physics part of it?
I played it for 10 minutes. I'm not sure, man. There was, like, my cannons, I definitely had to put in the right positions because of the arc from, I could tell from their elevation, they couldn't hit things directly below them because they couldn't get the right arc on it. So, yeah, I think in that aspect, it's going to be very realistic in that sense, besides the purple goo that's trying to eat all your robots.
And they do have a demo on Steam.
I got somebody called Aurora Wolf. I'm not familiar with them. Oh, I mean, I've read their stuff on, they're popping up on Discord a bunch now. And I don't know if it's a he or she, but she really likes her content. She said that she's listening to all of the movies on the DL, and it's making her go and watch those movies that she wouldn't be interested in because she's so interested in the actual movies on the DL. So I thought that was pretty cool. And she joined the gift exchange, even though the guy who's been there since the beginning for 6 years, Bobby, did not choose to join for whatever reason.
It's a busy time of year for me.
This guy's too busy drinking water, shit, man.
Yeah.
I was done in 7 clicks, Bobby. 7 clicks. Done. Signed up, sent the gift, all that. Anyway, I sent her. So I went to, I don't know why I think it's a girl. I went to their Steam page and huge wish list. And I just scrolled and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled. And I was like, oh, Deep Rock Galactic. I mean, a gift coming from DLG, it's got to be DRG.
DRG.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's probably our podcast's favorite game, I mean, of all time, as much as everybody's played it.
It's consistently been up there, too. Like, it's never gone out of style, which I think is why we really like it.
Yeah. And speaking of which, I played it last night with John, and we played that new map type with the pipes, Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
really the pipes. Cool little... I like the idea, man. It's really cool.
Yeah.
For those who don't know what it is, you're basically down there mining liquid Morikite for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You find a spring, and then you got to build a pipe system going from the spring back to your like main ship. And so it's kind of like a, I don't know, you're just in segments kind of playing Legos.
Yeah, it feels very much like a building game, like, as opposed to the other ones where you're going around and collecting things. Like you feel like you're building out and you have some agency as to how you build it. Cause you can ride those pipes, like skate on them too for
and
mobility.
Bob can ride those pipes. No, but also like you can, you have to dig holes to make sure the pipes fit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're terraforming to try to make it more efficient.
Yeah.
Machine.
Helps to have a driller. Cool. You just drill straight through a wall, run a pipe through it. Yeah, it feels like you're doing construction.
Like about 3 minutes in, we were like, "Man, we really need a driller here." And then you turn the machine on, and it starts pumping this Morikite, but there's leaks in the pipes, and that's when the sliding on the pipes helps. You can basically surf on these things and get to the leak fast. And yeah, it's cool. I really liked it. I'm looking forward to playing the other version too.
The drill dozer one. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm always down to play. I've actually been playing a lot of DRG 2, Deep Rock Galactic. Right now, they've got a holiday quest that you can get. If you complete it, it's quite a few missions, but if you complete it, you get a whole bunch of like gold and minerals, but you also get some Christmas hats or headgear. And one of them is this giant snowman hat. I'll bring it up here so we can actually see it. Keep forgetting I can do that.
And not just that, but as soon as you log in, I was gifted like two or three hats just for logging in. So I got a Rudolph hat and like some other hat. I think you just have to log in at the right time of the year, I think.
Okay, my contact fell out. I gotta go address this. I'll be right back.
All right.
Okay. They give you one for free, but then you can unlock the top hat and the snowman head.
Yeah. Morconius and Nick, thanks for organizing the exchange. And you heard it here first that Bobby didn't join because he was getting the snowman hat in Deep Rock Galactic.
That's exactly what was going on. Yeah,
well, because I'm Ebenezer Scrooge, man. I don't pay my employees when they work during Christmas, and I don't believe in gifts. And I think the poor should go to the poorhouses or they can die in the streets. Nice. And I'm expecting three ghosts tonight, so we'll see how that goes.
One would be the ghost of your happiness, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, Deep Rock Galactic, man.
Past.
It was the what?
Soylent Pass, dude.
The Soylent Pass.
One of them will be the Heroes of the Storm ghost.
Yeah.
The Phantasm of the Heroes of the Storm.
That's Bobby, let's go back.
No, you can't bring me back to that game. I keep coming back to Deep Rock, but not Heroes. Another game I've been...
Have you ever had any nightmares about that? Have you ever had any nightmares about going back to HOTS? It's just you playing HOTS for like 18 hours.
No, every now and then, like I'll pull up a stream and, you know, some ex HGC player will be streaming and I'll like watch it for a little bit. And I totally get it out of my system that way. Like any sort of curiosity I have about the game, I can totally get out of my system by just watching around. Yeah, no, but I don't know. I don't think too much about that game. It's not really on my mind. Too many other good games out there like Deep Rock and Killing Floor 2. Which I've been playing quite a bit of as well. They have their Halloween event, their Christmas event, currently in the middle of the Christmas event, but they are also doing like a double XP thing, which is really nice. So good time to jump into that. I've been like really getting into it though, just like leveling up a lot of characters. It kind of toned it down a little bit recently, but you know, with Back 4 Blood this week. But really been enjoying this game and playing it with some people on Discord. Just the way Bobby, of... What?
Is there a turrets class? Like somebody that throws up turrets? Something like an engineer in that game?
No. No, no turret class.
When that happens, give me a ring.
I mean, you could play Pyro. That seems like a class Chad would play, you know? Because he always went for the classes that where you didn't have to aim. You didn't have to aim guns. But what I noticed in this, I was playing with some friends. They added some new weapons too, which are great. They've got a very, they've got a weapon, a new weapon for the field medic, which is my favorite class. And it's very offensive. It's very like, it does a lot of damage. So you don't really heal a lot when you do it. And it's almost kind of bad, I guess, for the medic because you should be healing more. But it's weird playing in this mode because everybody's dressed up like, Christmas characters, and like the Flesh Pound, one of the toughest guys, is dressed like a big nutcracker, and they just don't look that threatening like that. I mean, they're all bloody and gross and stuff, but it's just like, hey, it doesn't look as bad than like, you know, just this big ripped dude with like a chainsaw arm and, you know, like a bionic head. So I feel like I kind of underestimate him a little bit in this mode. But yeah, man, Killing Floor 2, the gift that keeps on giving. I think they had that for free on Epic months ago.
Dude, that should have been the subtitle for their for this expansion for their Christmas time.
Yeah,
the gift that keeps on giving.
You know, the new map, like, I'm kind of on the fence about it, but nothing will ever top like 2 years ago when they did the Gary Busey Christmas. Like that really,
yeah,
that really
they
nailed
bring
it.
That back?
Oh no, it's still there, dude. You can play it anytime you want, not even during the holidays. But it first dropped, you know, because everyone's always playing the new maps. When they drop. So when it first dropped and everyone was playing it and you're just like, what is this? It was great. All right. So we don't really do On the Radar here, but there were some games that I wanted to talk about. that kind of caught my attention. One of them being Airborne Kingdom. And apparently I can't get to it. Let me just search for it. Airborne Kingdom. This is basically just a city builder game, but here's the catch. It's in the sky. And I know that sounds really stupid. I always like not games for that, like where they just have one gimmick. And that's
BioShock totally... did it well. Let's.
Yeah, but that's not a city builder. That's basically what this is, though. You're basically building, what is it, Columbus? That floating city from BioShock Infinite? Yeah. You're basically playing SimCity and building that town. So I don't know. That's actually kind of cool. Like I would check that out. Other than that, there's nothing really that special about it that I can see. The graphics aren't particularly great, very blocky. It is going to be on Epic. Looks like it's an Epic Store exclusive. And
the cool part about this game is that what you're trying to expand your city, but it's all about weight and like drift and stuff like that. So that's what you have to manage in addition to resources, is how much lift you generate.
It comes with its own set of problems, which is, you know, novel problems are novel fun to solve, novelly fun to solve.
This always seems like, you know, you always see this in steampunk, the floating city, but that just seems like such a bad idea. Like, why do you need a city in the sky?
Because there's war on the ground, Bobby.
Why don't you just build it on a mountain or something?
I don't know.
Like a really tall mountain.
Because it looks fucking cool, man.
Yeah, but cool. I'm just thinking it's about the energy thing. And the resources required to keep this thing afloat. I mean, it just does not seem sustainable. That's all I'm saying here. I don't know.
Good point.
Energy crisis.
Good point from the Scrooge.
Humbug. All right. The other game I wanted to bring up was Warhammer 40K Darktide. Excuse me. So we talked about this game before. This is the new game coming out from Fat Shark. Big fan of them. They've had a lot of games that I've enjoyed, starting with War of the Roses. At the Game Awards a week or two ago, they had a new trailer for this. When I saw this game at first, I wasn't that excited. Then when the Game Awards came out and they had a little bit better of a trailer, I was actually a little more interested in it. I don't know. Something about the trailer sold me a little bit more on this. And as you can guess, Nick has been pushing this game pretty hard, wanting us to bring it up.
He messaged me 20 times, actually 20 times.
Really pushing the Warhammer agenda here.
We've talked about it. This is probably the fourth time it's come up. It's kind of a Left 4 Dead style game set in the Warhammer 40K universe. You play as not the Space Marines, which is almost maybe why these games don't do well. It's because the Space Marines are so fucking strong, you never feel vulnerable. This time you just play as fucking regular humans and you're going up against like demented possessed humans. So who knows, hopefully it does really well, because I'm tired of playing shitty Warhammer games.
Yeah, and Warhammer,
we played the last one together, didn't we?
What was that one fun. Called can't remember, but yeah. The reason I have faith in this game a little Vermintide was made by Fat Shark, but I was talking about the other Warhammer 40K game that was a four-player co-op.
I don't think you played that one.
Quite as good. I don't think you played that with us, Chi. But Fat Shark, they made the Vermintide games, which I thought were actually pretty good. I enjoyed those, even though I mostly played only the first one. And then War of the Roses, I really enjoyed that. Like they're a very competent team of developers. So that gives me a little more faith in this. But we are not going to see it for a while. I mean, it's 2021, no specific release date.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But something to keep an eye on, I'm sure. And melee is always a very big part of these games, it seems. So hopefully that's right. And again, Fat Shark with War of the Roses. War of the Roses is a game that nobody really remembers, but it's basically chivalry. It's like the same concept. It's medieval combat with a lot of melee. But the way they did melee combat in War of the Roses was so good. You could swing your sword a couple of different ways depending on how you moved your mouse. I don't know. It was really enjoyable, and that gives me hope for this game if they do a lot of melee in it.
Right. I'll knock a couple things off of my list. Some Netflix that I've been watching. Well, I haven't watched this. I didn't even know about it, but it's already live because when I clicked on the link, I went to an article.
Witcher's World.
And when I clicked on the sample link, it went right to the show. Netflix presents The Witcher Beastery. So you can go and learn about all the different animals and creatures that The Witcher fights in when you watch The Witcher. And a lot of those things came from, you know, old lore from the old world, you know, people, places that end with Sleflana in their names or whatever, or Kerplakistan. That currently Kerplakistan, previously Slervana. And, you know, they have all these old ancient myths and stuff. And this guy, he's a Polish guy, the writer. He took a lot of that stuff and, you know, put it in his book, but he also came up with some original stuff. And this takes a documentarian approach to watching the show and then cross-referencing it with the books and then giving you and the games and giving you as much information about the bad guys as possible. And
that's pretty cool.
That's it. No story, no nothing. Just like, here's what's up with the bad guys. And
here's the basilisk.
Watching this, I'd probably get more information about these things than actually playing the game.
The game itself has a bestiary, doesn't it? Where you can open up you can open it up and read the lore. And I always liked doing that, but I never gave myself the time to do that. So I could see how entertaining it would be as a little well put together. You know, is it a series? So I imagine, or is it?
It seemed pretty short. Yeah, I think there might be vignettes or something.
Or it might just be like a 1 hour long document, like documentary, with just all the beasts involved. I suppose. Yeah, it would have to be a one movie thing.
Gotcha. Well, I saw one. There's part one and part two, so they probably they're going to keep going until they're all done with the interesting ones. But I thought it was a cool idea.
Game of Thrones could have done something like this, especially with all of the different families and their back history.
Yeah.
That would have been really cool.
For sure.
Because it only builds upon the existing world you already love, so.
The other thing is We Are the Champions. It's a documentary series about competitions that are not famous, just like these tiny little competitions that
draw
like a few thousand people.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
So some of the ones that I saw was like, what was the one that you saw
at the
sniper?
The cheese one where they just chase the wheel of cheese down.
That's what you were talking about earlier. I was like, this is such a weird conversation to have.
It's been going on for 400 years or 500 years.
You don't even know, dude. They asked like four different people, and one girl's like, well, historians say 1,000 years, and no one knows.
That's hilarious. Since we're in the...
another one is like... frog jumping. Another one is yo-yoing, hot pepper eating. But like for the people in these competitions, it's not their life. Well, maybe the yo-yo people, but it is definitely a big part of their life. Like they care. And I was thinking about it, like, and why it makes this kind of compelling. First of all, the announcer, the guy who talks, he makes it all like it might. Announcing the Super Bowl. He's like, and they take themselves serious. And it's like, he's taking a serious approach and he has some puns in there. And I don't know. It's a nice little mix of like serious and like poking fun of them,
without making fun of them too much. One of them was dancing in Russia, dancing with dogs. That's another competition.
Oh, that's fun.
But for these people, they care about these competitions and are as competitive as, you know, a real Olympic sport. They just, yeah, whatever it is. You know what I mean? They care as much. So why shouldn't we?
Exactly.
Kind of like what this little show is about.
Can we really bash on them? Because esports is becoming bigger and bigger, and people might look at it and be like, what? How is that much money being funneled into something? Exactly. It's a passion project. I like it. It makes your passion project competitive, and who wouldn't love that, right? Yeah. Bigger and better. Since we are in the topic of Netflix, I'll bring this up. I want to talk about it for longer than I will, but if there's one series I would recommend you to binge watch on Netflix right now, I just discovered this last night, and I think I'm on the last episode right now. It's called Alice in Borderland. Alice in Borderland, it's based on this basically nobody gamer, and he's in Tokyo, and he actually goes into a parallel world similar to what you might think of when you think of Gantz. I feel like it's a good combination of Gantz, which is an old school anime and manga series, and Battle Royale. So this gamer gets sucked into a parallel Tokyo universe, and in order to there's no surefire real answer to how to survive this other than the fact that he is obligated to play games, and these are real life-threatening games, and other people are involved. And if you don't beat the game that you're obligated to play, you actually will die, like just straight laser from the sky, boom, you're dead. And I'm not going to spoil too much about it, but it's right now he is, and it's actually like one of the episodes was like the biggest tearjerker that I've probably had all year in terms of like movies and films that I've watched. So it's really, it's such a good action and emotional show. Like I said, Gantz, I loved, one of my favorite anime series. This is based on a manga series. I had no impression of what this was before it just showed up on Netflix. It is a Netflix original series, but I think it's really well put together. It's a lot of fun, and it's based on like game master shit. So it's and the main character himself, he literally has nothing going on for him except for being a really good gamer. So it's really cool seeing the gamer rise up in this show. And I think right before we started recording this cast, I was eating my fried chicken, didn't wash my face the whole entire day except for you guys. So, and as soon as we're done, I'm going to go finish the last episode. So definitely good gamer binge worthy material, not just because it's related to video games, but it is actually good TV. So I recommend checking that out.
Gee, how'd you find this? Because like, I'm on Netflix quite a bit.
It was recommended. It was one of my recommended. Like the trailer just started going on its own. It's probably because of all the weeby stuff I usually watch too. Yeah. But this stuff is sick. It's really good. All the girls, they all have like really cool hairstyles and stuff like that. And I really, really like this show. It's futuristic. It's amazing.
I like the idea.
Is it psychedelic, like Alice in Wonderland?
No, it's not. No, it's all the technology is more. It's more like future forward. It's not. There's nothing magical about it. It's like in a modern day human in a really weird parallel universe where somebody controls. It's almost like Hunger Games. I guess that's a thing. It's almost like a Hunger Games feel, Battle Royale feel, like everyone's being monitored. They're set up to be in these life-threatening situations. Their human element is challenged because like, you know, kill or be killed, et cetera, et cetera. The goal is really to only survive, and there's no guarantee of survival at all. But and here's the thing, but if you don't keep playing the games, you will just die. Your visa expires, and then you die. Mm-hmm. It's
damn
really, really good.
Damned if you don't.
Again, that's Alice in Borderland, and it's my favorite show that I've seen this year, hands down.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm gonna check it out. Bobby hates it.
I don't watch TV, dude. I'm on like... the second season. I'm on the third season of The Mandalorian. That's where I'm at with TV. Second season, third episode.
God, yeah. We can't believe anything you say, dude. Third season of The Mandalorian? Is it true?
Bobby's living in 2030, dude. I don't know if you guys know.
Actually, The Expanse came out recently. I can't watch it yet. The Boys, actually, I really like The Boys. That's another good TV show. But this is like, this is really good binge-worthy content, at least for something that was released this year.
Speaking of binge-worthy, I'm not going to talk too much about Survivor, but we found that every season is on Hulu. And so it's such a family show. Mila likes it. She's 8 years old. Sam likes it. I love it. Like, it's fucking, I don't know.
Survivor is family-friendly?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. There's, I mean, yeah, I don't see why it wouldn't be. I mean, there's just people in bikinis and, you know, they fall off a lot and blur it out. But besides that, I mean, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
It's great. I can't, it's so binge worthy because, you know, people used to wait a week for the next episode.
That's now true. It's just that's true.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, what do you guys got? Just want to keep going?
Are we ready for listener questions, or is there any?
Yeah, we'll be ready.
No, obviously, listener questions.
That's like the this is the highlight.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have CarMax in Canada?
No.
Oh. So, I just want to shout out little shout out to CarMax. If you're going to trade in your vehicle, you will not get a higher trade in value than CarMax. Like, even other places have been. When I was shopping around to trade in my other vehicles, they'd be like, oh, if you're not happy with this, just go to CarMax. So I went to CarMax and got like a $5,000 over what like a dealership was going to give me. And they give it a printout and like, this is what it's worth. And once you get that printout, you can go to other places and be like, hey, CarMax, give me this. If you want my business, you're like, you know, you match should honor it. Yeah. And I've had that happen as well. And not
are
just
you reading
that,
off
just,
a card? Are you reading off a card? Is this a no. side gig for you? What's going on? Seriously.
Dude, I like the company. And then you go, and when you
save
go
10% with Ash.
Save 10% with no DLG at checkout.
And then when you buy, when you go to buy, like there's no bartering. It's just like, it's like you went to a grocery store. You can go and buy a car in under an hour. And like, maybe that's pushing it, but like an hour and 20. You're out the door with a brand new car. And it's just like, this is the price. Here are the numbers. There's no bartering. It's just like, that's it. It's just like the way, it's funny because this is their slogan is the way car buying should be. I don't know what I was about to
say. Of course,
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I'm a shill. But anyway, you should you should check it out if you're going to trade in your car. It's the only way.
Well, did you have to, when you traded in your car, do you have to then get a car from them if you trade in with them, or they just give you that money?
Nope. Okay. Yeah, they just give you that money. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I do like, when I bought my last car, it was the first time I had ever gone through a dealership, but I had actually gone to my bank and searched for a car there, and then they gave me a price, and they said, hey, just take this to the dealership. And it is kind of nice dealing with that because I've always bought used cars and it's always a hassle, dude. It's like Tijuana street market, like buying a car, dude. It just sucks. It's like people are always trying to screw you. And it was really nice just to not deal with that bullshit. So, yeah, you can do that when you trade it in. That's great, too.
So currently what I'm doing is like I don't need my giant truck anymore. I have a giant diesel truck. It's as long as a limousine. You can't take it anywhere. You can't park it anywhere. I got trapped in at the zoo the other day when
a
bunch of SUVs parked around me. Like, it's just, it's not, it's good for what it does, but I don't need to do what it does anymore.
Is it the truck that helped me move like 2 or 3 times?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. See, it's really good for that shit.
Yeah, helping your friends move when their relationships don't work out.
So I'm downgrading to a smaller truck, which is weird because like the value of the truck is like half of what my current truck. So I got out of my super dope, awesome, super fucking overpriced truck and got into like a decent truck, a good one. Like it'll do
what
everything
do you have,
that
a Tacoma?
I need. No, I have a Sierra 2500. And So, but then I got into like a regular truck, like something that, you know, a normal commuter would have. And I'm trying to compare them one to one. And I'm like, I got to keep reminding myself this costs half of what the other one costs. I'm doing this to save money, not to like, not because it's a better truck. And I had to just keep reminding myself. Anyway, the one that I want, they're shipping it from LA to down here just so I can test drive it for free. It's like CarMax. It's the way to go.
Hmm. Nice. Cool. All right.
Enter code DLG on checkout.
Yeah, I'm gonna send them an email. I'm gonna send them an email with Emilio's clip and be like, "Hey,
right.
this guy loves you. Like, you can't not give us money. Like, let him talk about it more. He could talk forever."
Right.
The Samsung Note Ultra is my new phone that I got day before yesterday. It's the most expensive phone I've ever gotten. It's like the flagship Samsung $1,300 phone. And I'm not disappointed in the first couple of days, but I'll talk about it more next week after I've had it for a week.
Okay. Cool. Well, we'll hear about that next week. But for now, a quick shout out to Aurora Wolf, 2 months sub. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Aurora, are you a male or female? For some reason, I feel like Aurora is female and then Wolf is male. I don't know. These are just...
I don't know.
Hey, blame me.
Have you guys ran into people with couples Twitch accounts?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So many.
Like they just
Ice House is a couple Twitch account.
Yeah, him, his wife, and his giraffe. Yeah, that's weird.
He is a male, he says. All right, good to know. Confirmed. Now I get to call you he. Confirmed. I'm glad you're liking the movie content.
Yep, and we got to record another one of those next week, so we should
movie
figure
content.
Out.
Yeah, we don't even know what we're saying. Yeah. Gee, can you recommend some anime? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, totally. Come on.
All right, let's get to list.
I only know the quality stuff. You could trust me.
That's what they all say.
You should watch Your Name, actually, if you want good anime. Your Name. You would like that, Bobby. I think you'd like it.
Is it a TV show?
It's a movie. It's really good.
Okay. If it's a movie, I'd give it a
good.
Shot.
You'd like it. But yeah, do that one next.
All right. First question from Hoggle Fosh. What gameplay and mechanics would be a subscription-based MMO, or would a subscription-based MMO have to offer to make you interested in playing it?
Digital fellatio.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know, man. Like pretty much any MMO out there, I play it and I'm like, "Yeah, this isn't WoW. Like I should just play WoW."
But even then, I'm actually pretty disappointed in how not far I got with WoW Classic. Yet there are the diehard WoW players, and I've, you know, way too many of them where they're still just only playing WoW. Like that's the only game that they can play or are still invested in playing. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are Classic players, but then some of them are in Shadowlands too and love it. It's like WoW players are a definite community. But I feel like I fell off of that when I first fell off of WoW, and nothing has really captivated me, not Final Fantasy 14 or any other MMO. Genshin Impact is huge right now. Which I know has elements that would make me like it. But when I see the word MMO, that's what kind of deters me.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, because what I liked about WoW was that I basically was so young back then, I was willing and able to give up virtually everything else in order to progress in the game the way I wanted to progress. And I feel like right now, since I can't invest myself that deeply into a video game, I don't even want to start. And then the idea of a casual MMO doesn't attract me either, or a pay to win or a pay to MMO like Genshin Impact, nothing like that. I feel like the tagline MMO is honestly probably what would deter me from even wanting to play it. So I'm not sure what gameplay and or mechanics that isn't soul sucking, but what I want is soul sucking. So I don't think it's the game. I think it's just who I am in life that would make an MMO attractive, because I think I could be a WoW player, but I won't make that sacrifice to be the type of WoW player I want to be. Mm-hmm. So and that goes for future MMOs too.
Yeah, I think they really started to play with the definition of an MMO after WoW, because people realized they couldn't compete with it. So they just said, let's make a different kind of MMO. And they used that term to kind of market their game. But then when you played it, it had some very, very different mechanics to it, or something was very different about it. Genshin Impact was a game that's been recommended to me quite a bit, actually. And I actually downloaded and installed it. And I forgot about that. I was going to check it out while I'm on break for the next 2 weeks. So I might dip into that a little bit. I didn't know it was free to play. And that's when I downloaded and installed it. I know you can pay for some stuff, but I'm sure I won't do that. But you know, I'm willing to check it out.
Many other people have said that too, dude. We'll see.
That's how they get you.
That's how they got you.
I don't know, man. Good luck. I don't. Good luck getting me to pay for something. You're talking to Ebenezer Scrooge over here. Remember that, all right?
I don't just sign up on Christmas gift exchanges. For an MMO,
for me it would.
Okay. Go. No. Go.
No.
Not okay. Yet. Okay. For me, it's Star Wars Galaxies would get me to pay. Anything that has like a player built settlements and house decorating and a robust crafting system, like that's what I'm looking for, and I'd pay monthly for that problem.
Star Wars would be nice.
I think Final Fantasy 14 has that for you.
Oh, nice. Cool.
They've got a lot of good guild communities and homes and stuff like that. The second life in Final Fantasy 14 is very surprising. And they recently came out with a huge patch in our update. I know nothing about it, but I just know that is also an MMO community that is thriving.
For me, it would be an MMO that respects your time a little more. Because for some reason, I feel like a lot of, maybe back in the day, the emphasis was to keep you playing, right? Mm-hmm. For like as long as they could. Dailies, weeklies, all this stuff. And you keep playing it.
Rarely.
You already have our monthly subscription, right? So if you make your game fun in short bursts and rewarding in short bursts, as long as you're like skilled.
Well, that's what they keep doing with WoW. Every update, it gets more and more like that. They're trying to keep people from binging a lot at one time and kind of spreading the gameplay out, you know, with things like daily quests or weekly things. So there's only so much you can achieve in one sitting. So it kind of forces you. But the problem is people usually are just so addicted that they just switch to a new character.
True.
Yeah,
so I see that a lot.
It's a lot more character
it's
switching.
It's rare, because I remember playing WoW back in the day going, what's your main? And I have an alt. But now it's like, oh, I've got these tunes. I've got this 80 DK. I've got this 80 priest. Yeah. I've maxed out every single class on like, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's, you basically have your own party of alts.
Yeah, they're trying to fix that problem, but I just don't know if it's a problem that can be solved. It's like, make a really, really addictive game, but then don't have people play it too much. It's just, I don't know. It's very contradictory.
Could be done, Bobby.
I think, honestly, I would be interested in a future MMO that is more guild-based than anything else, where having one of the best guild communities actually makes you better in the game, which is kind of like what you have to have established guilds in order to accomplish raids. But I feel like the casualty and the low commitment factor has also interjected with that. So you can just like pug a raid. But I really liked in Classic WoW that unless you were a part of the elite, you weren't actually playing the game, or at least no one respected you as you were playing the game. So I feel like if there were a future MMO to come out, it might be something that's more like socially centric in that sense. Like in order to progress or actually get to a certain stage of the game, you actually have to play with other people that are just as good, if not better than you. I would like that.
Next question from the Livingston. Why is there no penis size slider in Cyberpunk?
they obviously had bigger problems in front of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's pretty low on the priority list right now.
What's wrong with penis? What's wrong with penis two?
There's
a lot of problems with penis one.
I didn't know what the differences between penis one and penis two were. I was like, what's the difference? They're not. It's not changing in size. And then someone's like, the turtleneck sweater, and I'm like, oh, oh right, yeah, yeah. I didn't notice that right away. Not sure if you guys did. Well, you probably did.
I'm surprised. I don't even know if I set that. I don't spend too much time at character creation screens anymore. I wonder if somebody can hack the game and change that, because that would just, you know, of course that would be great Reddit material there. They did have a console you could open up and like enter commands in. I think they patched that out, but.
Well, based on the one quest line that I did in Cyberpunk where you had to help the gentleman with his defected crotch, like I suppose they could sell you bigger penis sizes if you really need it. Gotta look in the right corners.
All right, Burn Division asks, what's the longest continuous gaming session you remember playing?
Ooh, oh, geez. I've got an answer for this one. I used to be a nerd, guys. I played EverQuest for, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, a lot of hours.
I wouldn't doubt me going over 24. I would not doubt it.
I'm not sure if I ever.
Yeah, it would have to have been like some day during 2007 when WoW was at its peak that I spent way too much time.
Back in those days, I wouldn't doubt it. Although I did like 12 hours of Back for Blood in one day, and I'm over 30. Like 16-year-old me, dude. Like I could game all day. I could game all day, kind of thing. Seriously. Well,
you know, that's why whenever people are like, you see these news articles all the time where it's just where it's like 17-year-old hacks into into NASA or something like that. And like, people are always like, oh my God, what a 17-year-old genius. I'm like, no, dude, he's 17. What the fuck else is he doing? His homework? No, dude, that guy doesn't have a mortgage. Like, that guy can do whatever he wants. Like, of course he's hacking into whatever, or doing some crazy shit online. But
I was playing for like, you know, one of these teens, it must've been 16, 17 hours. And I fell asleep on the keyboard. And my guild, we were on a raid, and my guild started calling me on the phone. And I didn't wake up. Like, I was just done. And so they continued to call me as soon as, like, because my character was in danger. Because we were raiding, and we were in the deepest, darkest dungeon. And I fell asleep in front of the fire giants where they sleep. And so I get a phone call, and it finally woke me up at like, you know, 7 in the morning. And I was like, hello. And they're like, dude, we were on the raid. We had to leave you. You fell asleep. He's like, your body is in, not your body, your character is in the fire giant room. You need to get out of there because they spawn in 4 hours. And I was like, oh shit. And it was very close to 4 hours. Who knows when my character actually logged off or whatever. So I log in, and the fire giants are sitting on their thrones. And I'm like, port, you know, like the spell to take you back home.
Hearth, yeah.
It's a very, like, a lot of swirls and stuff. It takes about 20 seconds. And they notice me, and they're running towards me. And I was like, oh, my God. And my guy's like,
what's the consequence of dying?
It's super bad. Because your body.
Do you lose EXP? Does your body
lose EXP and you lose all your items unless somebody can go in there and grab your body? So you would.
That's kind of like Diablo, then, right? Where you have to go back to your body in order to get any of your stuff, or.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but we were in the deepest, darkest dungeon. So a whole new raid, 40-man raid, would have to be put back together to get my body out of there. Luckily, I disappeared right before they got back to me.
So, that'd be such a good movie. We're going back in. We never leave a man behind. Saving Private Emilio.
Oh, that would be. That would be. That's hilarious. That was
Omega Red, my gnome necromancer.
Yeah.
Which is what I play with our D&D group.
Circle.
Omega Red? I thought it was Blue Red.
No, no, but that's, I changed the name. But oh, okay. The class and race.
All right. Burn Division has another question. Have you guys considered doing a charity game-a-thon at all with the podcast?
Nick has done one for us, and so has Jew for You. They've each done a 24-hour cast and raised a couple hundred bucks for, I don't remember what they did, what it was for, but it helped.
Nick somebody. Did WASD.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and we got, I mean, we just got to stream more often, I guess, but yeah, that'd be interesting to do some sort of a marathon streaming event. That might be fun.
One of my coworkers just put together a Rocket League Invitational. We set like a $200 goal to raise money for Food Banks Canada. And we had like 50 people watching and like a full tournament. Lots of people signed up and we raised $1,000 and it was super fun. Nice. So I'd totally be down. Like, it's cool to see money come in, especially around the holidays for good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be something we can think about putting together. I think that would be fun. I feel like we haven't had a community event in a while.
Yeah.
All right, next question from Cricket Soldier. What game do you have the longest accumulated playtime on?
I wouldn't doubt WoW, but it's too late to see. Yeah, what that I mean, is.
God, WoW.
On Steam, it's Counter-Strike, hands down. I have over 1,200 hours in CSGO.
Mm, that is a lot. You know what's crazy? It's like I don't have a lot of games with a super high amount of hours. I mean, except for WoW and like Heroes of the Storm. But when you look at my Steam account, it's really not that much. Except for Deep Rock Galactic. And that's actually recent in a year. Like I barely have any games that are over 100 hours. Like maybe a couple, but Deep Rock is at about 500 now.
I remember 15 years ago when Emilio interviewed me for this podcast, he asked me this question, and I said, I have like 400 hours in Civ. And Emilio said, what? Are you even a real gamer? 400 hours in Civ? I have 400 hours as the engineer in TF2, dude. Like,
yeah.
It's true.
I don't know. When did Steam start counting hours? That was like 2008?
It was when Left 4 Dead was like their mainstream game. I remember that because I had already probably invested 400 hours at least into Left 4 Dead, and then it counted another 400.
Left 4 Dead 1?
Left 4 Dead 1.
Yeah, so I think it was around 2008. Because I would have a lot in TF2.
Yeah, TF2, same thing. I have the same problem. Like, right now I'm at like 900 hours, but it would be way more. It would be at least half that more. But nothing touches EverQuest, guys. Like, when I talk about EverQuest, it doesn't even...
Yeah. With me and Counter-Strike, that's just my CSGO hours. That doesn't count, like, my, you know, CS 1.6 or potential source hours. But I still think WoW takes the cake. I kid you not.
Yeah, hard to compete with WoW.
Yeah.
So I was like 22, I think, when I was playing this, like hardcore. And I did time played one time, and it would give you the exact down to the second. And it started, I remember at one point it said 1 year. Wow. 1 year, 1 month. At my computer, sitting at my computer.
Yeah, active, so, like actively logged active. In. Oof.
Yeah, so there you go.
Mm-hmm. How many hours is one year? 8,760. Damn.
There you go.
Jeez. Yep.
Wow.
All right. Last question from Very Bumpy. Do you feel adult content in PC games has ever been done properly? If so, which games? If not, how should adult content be utilized?
I think The Witcher did it tastefully, and it was kind of like a romance movie. Like every time he got laid, it was like a thing. It wasn't just like a rough cut or anything. It was just, especially when he hooked up with Yennefer, which was like, you know, you know that he wanted this so much, and it was just kind of like a payoff. And then, like, it was a nicely done sex scene.
like romantic.
Tasteful nudes.
Yeah, it was tasteful nudes. Besides that, I think Mass Effect did it okay.
Yeah, Mass Effect. Because the whole thing, and it's the same with movies, is you really got to earn the sex scene. Otherwise, it's gratuitous. I mean, the point of it is to show a connection between two people, because in real life, people have sex because, you know, usually they have a connection, or maybe not. Maybe it's just a prostitute. But it's really easy in video games that to just like use that as a way to like hook 15-year-old boys. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I think Mass Effect, I guess they all had the romance option. I just always seem to remember 2 and 3 mostly, but you really build a rapport with those characters. Like you go through a lot with them. And if you pursue a romantic option with one of them, it really feels natural that you take that to a sexual conclusion.
Mm-hmm. You know who I think did an extreme, like the classiest adult content, The Sims. I remember playing The Sims as like a little girl, and they still kind of do it now. And I know there are ways to mod it now, but it was just like one of those things where in The Sims, you got to woohoo and you had to earn your way to woohoo. It wasn't like you just like, you know, it's like, and that's what I liked about it. And then like they did it under the sheets, and you could tell. Or like even like with showering, like they blur out different parts of the body when your sim is naked and stuff like that. So that's like, that's more or less adult content. But then with The Sims, I think they played it where it's like, yeah, it's a part of your everyday sim life.
Yeah.
But it's not overdone to the point where it's like, it's distracting from the what the game is. It adds to it for sure. Mm-hmm.
Dude, not just when he said sexual conclusion was a robot. He was like, well, meaningful relationships equal sexual contact unless one party had paid for the other services. And, but then when one is interested in the other, it could conclude in sexual conclusion.
I'm just like, trying to break it down for people. I'm just breaking it down, breaking down the steps. Because
that kind of reminds me of Grand Theft Auto then, the whole in the car, and then it would start bouncing
That's a perfect example of how not to do it. That's totally for shock value. Like, that's totally for just like, look, and that's what Grand Theft Auto is all about. That's kind of like their thing, right? You know, just for a lot of shock value, profanity, violence, sex. And, you know, I mean, like, I don't...
That was a huge portion of the game, though.
Yeah, I know, but I think that's kind of like...
Especially if you beat up the prostitute and got your money back. That was...
Yeah. But I mean, that's like something.
Why wouldn't you do it?
But I feel like that would appeal to a much younger audience. Like usually when you get older, you're not like, I don't know. If you're looking for something more out of your video games, and I guess I
could. Cypher, do you have an answer? You're the one with the giant vibrating purple vibrator by your shoulder. Do you have an answer?
Well, what are you going to do with that thing, first of all?
What? I'm going to use it? It's going to be coming in the bedroom with me. It'll be a very own... It'll be some kinky times. But, I don't know. Adult content and PC.
It costs more than the whatever it's cost or whatever.
I put it on my wish list. I put it on my wish list. What I put it on. Yeah. I was once grounded for 14 days for playing Grand Theft Auto. And the one thing I did, my friend had it. And the one thing I did was go to the prostitutes. And,
yes.
Yeah. And I was grounded. And then I had to say whatever, my Hail Marys in confession or whatever. Hmm. 60 Hail Marys, because I kind of half got a boner too. GTA prostitutes. Anyways, that's a part of my past that I'd like to share. And
forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
My name is Emilio, and I'm a former Catholic as well.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, yeah. I think that's a show. What's everybody playing next week?
So we're going to start playing each other's game of the year, I think. Bobby and I, at least. I think I'm going to try out Black Mesa, and he is probably going to play Hades, but I don't know if that doesn't have to happen this week, but we're going to do our game of the year in January.
you actually should do it, because at least you give everybody a proper shot, right?
It's hard to say. It's not like when the clock ticks over to January, then immediately everything in 2020 is, because you still need time to play it.
Game of the year, dude.
Yeah, dude. But so a game comes out like December 20th. Cyberpunk comes out December 28th. You're going to smash through that in 3 days and have a good opinion on how that game adds up to all the other games you've been playing? I don't know. It's a blurry line. That's why they do the Oscars in like February or March. You know, they got to give a lot of time. And that's for movies, dude. Not even video games that are like 60 hours long. I don't know. Yeah. It's Game Awards, dude. Don't take it too seriously anyway, so.
Gee, do you have a game of the year?
Not yet. No, not off the top of my head.
Well,
I do. If you scroll down, you'll see what my game of the year is, but I don't expect you guys to play it. So I put in Valorant as a nominee.
Oh, Valorant. Go figure. Can you play that game yet? I couldn't get into that before.
Yeah.
It's free to play now?
I thought it always was free to play, wasn't it? Valorant?
I don't know. There was some loophole you had to like go through to get the game originally. Like you had to get into some sort of beta or something. I don't know. I couldn't get it when it first came out.
Oh, really?
You're making you had to pay $20 to get an early access. That's what it was.
Hmm. Oh, really? Oh. Yeah. Well, it's been so long, but I know I really liked it. I enjoyed playing it. And honestly, it's only when I fell. That was the last game I played before I fell off of gaming completely this year. So that's probably the most enjoyment I got out of a 2020 game so far.
Sniper, do you have one? And why is it Star Wars Squadrons?
It's not Star Wars Squadrons. But Emilio, have you taken a jaunt to the bottom of this thing called our show notes before? The very bottom page? Because even if you don't want to do the game of the year in January, I think it would be fun to go over these, because Chi filled hers out. Bobby filled his out. I put mine on.
What is it? Did I fill all mine out? Oh, I'm missing. Oh, you added a new category.
It's just like fun categories that we can go over for the year. It doesn't have to be like a big thing, but.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'll have this filled out by next. Whoa, everybody did this except for me.
Yep.
All right. This is what I'll be filling out this form next week, guys. That's what I'll be doing. speaking for Bobby, Chi, Sniper from Canada, all the way from Canada, and myself, Valorant Titties. Bye bye.
Did you say no nip titties for Cyberpunk yet? There's an option for no nips.